All right, so shall we get into our top five?
Yes, that's right.
All right, this one is dedicated to summer, mm-hmm. barbecues, mm-hmm. and delicious steak that's going to be eaten. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. Some people asked us if we wanted to rank our favorite steak places in Toronto, but Cause and I want to throw this one out there. What are the best side dishes mm-hmm. that go with steak?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the list, even though traditionally, when I do the list, it's not as fun as when Matt does it. Maybe mm-hmm. because you tend to agree with me more, and I just look for reasons to rip you.
Very mean of you.
All right, so I've got a couple that I had to park on the side.
Okay, so these are the also-rans.
Do you want me to do the also-rans first, or do you want me to do the also-rans after?
No, after. Let's get to it.
All right, so in ascending order, starting with five, going to one?
Starting with five,
the delicious wedge salad. And I don't mean a salad. I mean the wedge salad, mm-hmm. which if you've never seen it, is kind of imagine like you take a head of lettuce, iceberg lettuce, and you cut it into like a quarter or maybe a fifth. So you have like this huge, almost looks like a piece of cake. Mm-hmm. And then you put dressing on it
yep.
and some bacon bits. Mm-hmm. And it's like you took one of those like pumpernickels or something. And you just cut a giant chunk out of it and you put it on a plate.
Yes.
And you know why I love this, Maddie?
Why?
Because it's ridiculous. It is a chunk of lettuce.
Yes.
As a side. There is almost no value to it, but you put it next to a steak, which people do all the time at fancy steak restaurants, mm-hmm. and it becomes a classy side.
Yes.
To steak. I just love the fact that steak is so powerful, it can turn a chunk of lettuce into a viable side dish.
All right, my only, first off, love the wedge salad, but...
You do love one, don't you?
Yeah.
You've ordered them, right?
Of course.
Of course you have.
Is that a side? Because...
Of course it is. Side salad.
Because to me, I look at that as salad. It's like when you order, it's like, okay, my appetizer, she's going to get the clam chowder. I'm going to get the wedge salad. And then with my steak, I've got sides to it. I don't know if that fully, and you can push back on this. I don't know if it fully feels like a side dish. It feels like its own separate entity, the salad or the appetizer entity, which is not part of the main dish. They are separate.
I kind of like that, actually. You make sort of sense. Even though you didn't do it with snark or anger, you think you've disarmed my point pretty well. Let me get through the other four.
Okay.
So that we don't completely emasculate my list before I'm actually done.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to bring that up.
All right. And it was fairly point fairly made. number four on the top five list of steak sides, baked potato.
Yes.
And baked potato is key because some people like the mashed potato, mm-hmm. but here's the problem with the mashed potato. Is that people like it at different consistencies.
Yeah.
It is really high. In general, we all like mashed potatoes, mm-hmm. but it's almost like your mom's cooking. You have a version of the way you see it
yep.
that almost nobody else can replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like it creamier.
Yep.
Some people like it with more milk in it. Some people like it with a denser consistency.
Yes.
Some with a fluffier consistency. Mm-hmm. Like I've gone to places and ordered a mashed potato side, and it's like they gave me a jar of paste. And I think this is horrible, but I like them fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
I like them so light, Matt. They're like a cumulus cloud.
There you go.
It's practically floating off of your plate. So for that reason, the baked potato, because it's pretty hard to screw up a baked potato.
Baked potato is delicious.
And also, it's a delivery mechanism for sour cream. Who's kidding?
Sour cream, sometimes bacon, sometimes cheese. You get the fully loaded one. Also, the double baked potato is also delicious.
You know what I love about it? Because in the back of our minds, we're always thinking, I'll get something healthy like a baked potato. And it is healthy, basically. Like the skin has tons of nutrients in it. But then you put the worst stuff in the world into the middle of the baked potato.
Yeah.
It's like a pinata. Basically, where inside of the shell is all that dairy goodness.
Yes.
And you bust it open with a fork. It's so good.
I got to tell you, at number four, baked potato. A lot of people would have had that at number one. I'm excited for three.
Wait till we're going. All right, three. I'll zip through this one. I had to put something green there. Asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
Just because nobody eats asparagus, but somehow next to steak, once again.
Absolutely.
It makes all this. Like, nobody gets excited because you went home and you're having meatloaf and asparagus.
No.
But you go to a fancy steak place, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a side of asparagus.
I think that's so true. I've eaten more asparagus with steak next to it that I've had asparagus without steak anywhere present.
Like steak restaurant versus the field. And the answer is the steak restaurant
for
this. So that's my number three.
Yep.
Number two, and this is brilliant. This was almost my number one, but I'm so inspired by my number one, you'll see. Fritz.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but when you take French fries and you put them next to a steak and you call them Fritz, it becomes classic.
Is it Fritz or Fritz?
Well, Fritz.
Wait, I don't know.
Fritz. Steak frit.
Listen, I already mispronounced three of the top 20 draft picks in the NHL.
Liljegren, how did you do it again?
Liljegren or something? I don't know.
No, that was the right way.
I didn't have to pull up my script from there. Like Liljegren. Oh, wait, hold on. one last time for everyone, defenseman who may go to the Maple Leafs, Timothy LeGrillin. Anyway.
We're grilling steaks.
We're grilling these steaks. Timothy LeGrillin some steaks.
All right, so Freet at number two. And yes, number one, and this is going to shock and blow your mind, Matt. Okay. But what is the idea of the side? What is the sidecar? The thing that goes with the steak, right?
It's supposed to absorb a lot of the juices, right, and things like that.
It complements the steak, yeah, right? Had wedge salad, had baked potato, asparagus, frites. Mm-hmm. My number one steak side?
Yeah.
Lobster.
Think about it.
Surf and turf.
It's the turf. It's the surf or the turf.
Absolutely. But seafood places don't offer it. Mm-hmm. You don't go to like Red Lobster and get surf and turf. You go to a fancy steak place and they put a lobster as a sidecar. Why? Because
yes,
the lobster is the complement. Mm-hmm. It is the friend, yep, of the steak.
Love it.
It's never the other way around. No one says, I want a lobster with a steak on the side.
You say steak with lobster, right, on the
side. So I count that as a side. So my number one steak side, mm-hmm, because quite frankly, if surf and turf isn't God's perfect meal, like if I had to go to the chair for the many things that I've done wrong,
yeah,
I would. And they said, what's that final meal? Mm-hmm. I'm going surf and turf. Yep. Wouldn't you, final meal?
Unless I could do all you can eat buffet and try.
Oh, you like duck though.
And try to, yes. Duck would be nice. I want to try to gain my way out of the system.
Still so you just eat forever? Yeah. Isn't that the theme behind Arabian Nights where the guy's like, I'm going to slice off your head in the morning, and the storyteller says, okay, but let me just finish the story. And it's so compelling that they get to live from night to night. You'd be like that with your buffet.
That's exactly what I would do. I'm not done eating yet. But yes, I would probably have duck. But
to borrow from The Simpsons, if I may, Maddie.
Yeah.
Do these really seem like the actions of a man who had all he could eat?
And Mrs. Simpson, what did you do next?
We went fishing.
They went fishing. Case closed, Your Honor.
Great list.
You like the list?
I like the list. The wedge salad is my only problem. It's delicious. I feel it belongs. It doesn't belong on the side list. Like when you look at the menu, usually that's not on the sides. I think my only problem.
Is there anything that you would have added?
Yeah, mushrooms.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Mushrooms?
Big thing of grilled mushrooms would have been on my list.
Yeah, that's a good one. Where would you have put it?
I would have had definitely higher than five, probably four. I'd have asparagus at fifth because, you know, vegetables are
at the end, it's still a vegetable.
Yeah, in the end, it's still going to be a vegetable. So I would have that at five. I would have mushrooms at four. I'd have the baked potato option, you know, somewhere at three. One thing I might throw in, and again, this is fancy pantsy cause coming at you, foie gras.
That's a terrible idea because it's so heavy.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Kind of gross. Oh,
because of the light steak I'm having. I feel like something light tonight. I'll have the porterhouse.
The idea is if you have the heavy entree, you're supposed to go with the light side.
Bob, this is the No Fear edition.
That's true.
And it's also the already outdated edition. So, yeah, to me, I would probably have found a way to work that in. But a good list. A solid list. One of my sort of hipster one would be, you rarely get this, but really good barbecue baked beans.
That is a pretty hipster pick, but you're right, and you almost never get it, but it is a bit of a treat. I was actually thinking, I almost put potato salad on my list. Ooh, yeah. Because that's what you would have at a cookout.
Yeah, at a cookout, right? Absolutely.
Right, and like on a Chinette plate.
Yes.
Like the idea of eating a steak on a plate that you throw out when you're done, I love that. You know why? Because it tells me that you're outside.
Yes.
And everybody's having a good time.
And you can't reuse it because then that plate is the center of that plate, because the steak and the juices, it's wearing thin. And by the way, a little thought on egg salad.
Okay.
You know, everyone looks at Kaz. I don't know why. I go, oh, look at him with his fanciness. Egg salad, it's better when it's cheaper. Like the really fancy egg or potato, either way. The really fancy one, I'm like, they get in the way of the essence of it. Just give me the giant, you know, from the grocery store, the huge just plastic tub of both potato and egg salad.
Do you remember when Loblaws used to have the delicatessen? It was called Ziggy's.
Ziggy's
Delicatessen.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Right.
Ziggy's.
And you would go there and you would get the potato salad.
Yeah.
And you talk about the essence of that potato salad. I think I can sum it up in one word.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise. The essence of a potato salad is mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's true.
And at rich places, they try and fool you with things like mustard and olive oil and
special
chives.
Mustard and lots of dill. Oh, they love the dill.
Actually, we should throw this out there. Just if you want to hit us up, MCause56 or at Bob Makowitz or the Mako and Cause podcast, if you want to find us on Twitter. What's your favorite way to do potato salad? Because once again, like mashed potatoes, potato salad is even more personal.
Yeah, it really is.
Mayo, mm-hmm. pickles,
yep.
celery.
Yep.
That's all I need.
That's all you need.
Then I'm off to the races.
Yeah, exactly.
Done by Ziggy.
Yeah, and usually that race is often in an ambulance, as it's a race for your life. It's a race between time and science.
All right, guys. So it's time for the big question.
Yeah.
And you've got the NBA draft going tonight. You got the NHL draft going tomorrow. You've mm-hmm. got free agent frenzy just around the corner. So Kaz and I were throwing around some ideas. What is your favorite individual day every year for each one of the four major sports?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a particular sport you want to start with on this?
Doesn't matter. We're,
why don't we start with hockey?
Okay, we'll start with hockey.
What is your favorite day of the calendar year as a hockey fan?
This one's easy. The first day of the playoffs. Because
a good one.
Unlike the NBA, where we know exactly what's going to happen, in the NHL, you've got no idea. And also, you get to see some teams you don't get to see all the time, depending on what time zone you live in. Also, you suddenly start watching these games, and you're like, oh, my God, because you remember what hockey looks like at its highest level, which you can't do in the regular season. That's asking way too much. So that first day, just the orgy of playoff games, and there's like usually four in a day, and it's just – and also, it's you're looking at the schedule, because you look at the schedule, and you can say to yourself, I have got things to do every night.
I think I have a different pick, but I kind of like yours better. So let's go down that road. Because what I dig about that is you're right. You do look at the schedule and you start making selections.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to Vegas and you've only got 3 days there. So you kind of map out in your brain which casinos you want to hit, which shows you want to see, which restaurants you want to go to. You almost create like a programming board in your mind. But that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other great point that you made is that jump up in quality.
Yeah.
Like from the last, you know, because let's face it, like the Washington Capitals, you wrap up the President's Trophy. You're just trying not to get hurt. You know, all of a sudden your lesser players start seeing a little bit more time. Maybe your backup's on the ice a bit. And then all of a sudden game one hits and it's for reals.
Yeah.
And kaboom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, that is such a great point, Kaz. I love it. That is so good.
I
actually went with draft day because I do love draft day.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I love draft day, and this is sort of a new thing for me, like over the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, I know what this is. Because is it because you have a child?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hate those stories. I don't care. Everybody loves their parents. Like everybody acts like hockey parents somehow love their kids more than everybody else.
Okay.
Piano parents love their kids too.
Yeah.
And believe me, they're just as mean to them when they're not good. No, it's because the league's getting younger and younger all the time. Mm. So it used to be that, you know, you draft these guys and you wouldn't see them again for a little while. I remember talking to Alain Vigneault when he was with the Canucks on the draft.
Name drop.
I don't know how to come back from that because it clearly was. They just drafted Brandon Gaunce in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a name drop, Maddie? Or is it just a fact?
Clearly it's not a name drop. Brandon Gaunce.
Legigrinin.
Little dirty one, scoundrels.
So I said, so how do you feel about this this pick? And he goes, I just hope I get a chance to coach him.
Hmm.
And I thought in that moment, you're right. Like, why would you care? He's 3 years away. If you're still working for them in 3 years, that's a bit of a miracle, really. So
Debbie Downer answer, right, by the way.
No, but it was funny, though, too. He said it in a way that was really sort of caustic. He's quite bright, and he's kind of caustic. He's fun to talk to. That was a name drop, too.
It was.
Kind of a,
it was.
You know, AV's a lot of fun to talk to, Maddie, you know.
You haven't talked to him?
No.
And when you talk to him outside of hockey, the man has so many interests.
That's a good one, right? That's always the worst when everybody drops that. When he's like, Bill Peters outside of hockey. He's just a terrific guy.
So funny. Like, just, and his wife. And you go to their home.
You see him with his family, and you just see a guy like Torts with his family. It's just a
different perspective altogether.
Love it.
I'll never forget that weekend.
The league's getting younger.
Yeah.
So you can draft guys at the top of the draft that actually are expected and probably will have an impact next year.
Yeah.
Like when a Pierre-Luc Dubois doesn't have an impact right away, people freak out. When Jonathan Drouin goes back to junior, people are like, what the hell? He's the third pick. You know, Connor McDavid comes in and dominates. Jack Eichel comes in and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So just the idea of impact players, you know, and we get to know them so much better than we used to. Remember what it was like 10, 15 years ago and everybody was legit grinning?
Yeah.
Like even guys at the top of the pool?
Yes.
And nobody knew?
Yep.
I kind of feel like Stamkos in a way was a changer, but here in Toronto, like John Tavares changed that a little bit too, because from the time he was 14 years old in the GTHL, like hockey fans were following that kid's career.
Yep.
And that seems to be the case now generally. I find myself, I'm going to make an admission here that's not really very cool,
mm-hmm.
but on Cable 10, they have GTHL games. And sometimes I watch him just because I'm wondering, like, who's going to go at the top of the OHL draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That is pretty sad. But some of those Sunday nights, Matt, outside of football season.
All right.
Yeah.
Can't fight. You don't have a PVR. That's what you do. You record things and you watch them instead of watching GTHL.
Let's move on. That's pretty sad. Okay, you know what? Yours was better, and I didn't do myself any favors there.
Let's go to the NBA because that's going on tonight.
Okay.
Cool. My favorite day, and this is, you ever get the really fancy hot chocolate where it's just a small amount, but it's really condensed chocolate?
Like an espresso of hot chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about here. The draft lottery. Because fortunes change within minutes. Because it's only about 10 minutes long. Because the first 20 minutes, I love, it's just all filler. And they're trying to interview the good luck GM or the kid or whatever. Dan Gilbert's, you know, annoying kid was there for all those years. But then when it starts, it's like the bleep just got real. Because I'm not going to say the S word on this podcast.
24 minutes in, Matty. Episode 6. Yeah. I broke the rule.
You did. And it's like this year, for instance, the Lakers had a good chance of not even having a draft pick in the first round. And now it looks like they're going to get Ball. You know, when the LeBron year, when you have those years where there's that one guy, you know, that just that intensity where so much can change in that moment. I'm going to go with the NBA draft lottery.
I'm going to go with the first day of free agency, although I like your pick a lot. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in the NBA, we've become accustomed to big players actually moving in free agency. Like you think back to the decision. You think back to that move to, you know, KD's move to San Francisco.
Yeah, horrible days, both of them.
No, but also fascinating days. Yes, of course. The entire league, like literally an entire league can change on free agency day.
Yep.
And the other leagues, you don't really see that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get big player movement in the NHL.
NHL, no. I mean, who moves?
No, but like trades. Like Subban for Shea Weber on the same day as Larson and Hall. Like that was a crazy day. But they rarely happen. But in the NBA, it's pretty regular.
Yes.
They never happen. Big stars move.
Never happens in the NFL. Never.
And baseball, kind of. But the impact of one single player is so little. But in the NBA, when one player matters so much.
Tectonic shift.
Right, and because players have such a greater sense of their own destiny in the NBA than they do in any other league, like these guys see themselves as businesses.
Yeah.
They are basically, it's like they're moving head offices. You know, Kevin Durant didn't switch teams. He just moved his head office from Oklahoma to San Francisco to Silicon Valley. So for me, that free agency day is fascinating because at the end of it, you go, how is the league literally different now?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Football. We'll probably both agree.
The draft.
No, the Super Bowl.
No, the draft.
The draft's great, but honestly, Matt, be real. Like,
no.
After the first 10 picks, and then your team, like, how much do you really care about who goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the 21st pick? Oh, look, they took a cornerback. Big deal.
I do watch college football.
Right.
So that's part of it because you're waiting for a certain quarterback or a player that you know is really good who hasn't been taken yet.
Like Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
If I pronounced that correctly.
Well, he went number one overall, so it'd be incorrect. How about Tim Tebow? You know, and just when he went. Or also Johnny Manziel. Where was he going to go? Or Brady Quinn.
I think it's pronounced Manziel.
Yeah, Manziel.
Yeah, it's pronounced Manziel.
Manziel. Here's a couple things. When the draft comes on, you haven't had any football in ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, the gang's all back together. There's Berman, there's this guy. And you see highlights, like, you know, they'll show highlights of all your favorite teams and then highlights from all the players. You get to see Jets fans be angry. It's also that great day when you can be happy or angry that your player did or didn't take someone that you've never watched. Also, instant grades. There's something hilarious about it. At the end of the draft, you're just like, please, please, Mel Kiper. Give my team an A. Oh, it's a C-. And there's some irrational, emotional response to that. So for me, love the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's the wrong answer. Now, you are a draft nerd. And we've shamed you on this program before that you would sit there and watch Jonathan Ogden.
Yep.
In his draft profile.
Yes.
It was it a sweep to the left? And he blocked two guys?
No, it was to the right.
Oh, and it was to the right, my apologies.
He was at his left tackle position.
Where did he play college, by the way?
He was at, I believe, UCLA, and I think it was against Miami. And just, it was
and
crazy.
You rewound that over and over again just to watch him pancake two guys, right?
Yes. I also rewatched Brady Quinn not getting drafted by Miami, and him with his dippy girlfriend, and you can hear him.
Okay, but that's a bit different because that's drama we can all enjoy. That's a lot different than this offensive lineman on a stunt.
I enjoy watching both.
No, okay, that's fair. Like,
I used to get together.
By the way, the fact that I keep half an eye on the GTHL versus you you get a boner over linemen doing their jobs really. By the way, is there anything more boring on a draft night when they try to like spotlight what an offensive lineman does well? They circle wipe him holding a guy up.
Yeah, I know.
At the line of scrimmage. And as you can see here, and then, you know, the running back punches through a hole, and I'm supposed to go, wow. Yeah. As opposed to the NBA where guys are jumping over chairs.
Did you get the spectacle of all of it? Who's the last one in the green room? Oh, it's a magical day.
The answer is the Super Bowl, Maddie. The genius of the NFL is that their last day is the most interesting day. And almost no league can claim that unless you happen to have a miraculous final that goes to seven games between. But more often than not, the final game in most team sports of the season tends to be a foregone conclusion.
Yes.
One team's kind of already won by then and they wrap it up. But the genius of the Super Bowl, 2 weeks of hype, and anybody can win it. It's just a one game thing.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
it's a great day.
It's Pittsburgh and it's Arizona. Well, Arizona was a wild card team. Yeah, but who cares? They're in it now and they're on a neutral field and they've been playing hot and we all know your beloved New York Giants, I believe, weren't they 7-7 at one point that year that they beat the New England Patriots?
Yes, they were, Bob.
With the Tyree catch, they were 7-7, right?
Yeah, they were.
So just get in and see what happens.
That's right.
And the parties that happen around it, like it's so, isn't it bizarre? Doesn't it make you pause to think, like, how is it that the Championship of American Football is one of the biggest party days globally on this planet?
Yeah. It's great. It's great, Mark. It's a fantastic day. It would have been my runner-up. Would be the Super Bowl.
And also, just to prove that what you say isn't true,
okay,
is your big party that you've had for many, many years.
Yes.
Happened on Super Bowl Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you want to explain what the party was that you and your pals threw? What was it, for like 10, 15 years consecutively?
Oh, the weight gain contest?
Yeah, the weight gain contest.
What we do is you show up and you get on a scale and you weigh yourself. Then you start eating, and we would have a golden corral of food, like just a massive buffet. Some years
you're not doing it justice, Max.
Some years carving station. Other year we did the Baconator, you know, and just
you had a taco bar the year that I went.
Yep, we have taco bars, Sunday bars. We do it all, and then when you can't eat anymore, you tap out, and whoever gains the most weight wins the William the Refrigerator Perry Trophy. My twin brother once gained 13.1 pounds, and he, no joke, gave himself a hernia from how much he ate. That is true. And I always would feel bad because at the end of the, you know, at the end of the game, a lot of us are in meat sweats, and we're just like, ugh.
Josh, your twin brother, who still holds the record for most weight gained at one sitting.
At one sitting.
13 and change.
13.1.
He actually researched it and figured if he had pizza. And also a ton of Nesty iced tea.
Yeah.
It wouldn't metabolize as faster in his system, so he'd actually keep it in his belly longer.
Yep. Yeah, he did the research. Good for him. I feel bad for all the wives because their husbands are going to come home, crawl into bed, and not like, oh, my drunk husband. No, my filled with meat, gassy husband.
Just gained 6.5 pounds of hamburger. I went to one of these parties. Matt and his friends were very, very, almost religious about not letting anyone outside of the group come in.
Yes.
But they saw me eat at a stag one night, and they kind of scouted me.
Yep. Oh, I remember the exact quote from my friend Tom Longhurst. Hey, your friend Bob, he's a good guy. He can really eat his food. Yeah, maybe we can let him into the Super Bowl party. Actual quote.
Oh, so I went. I gained 10.5 pounds. Did you know that, Matt?
No.
The year I went, I gained 10.5 pounds.
You hit double digits?
I did.
Oh.
I did. And it was horrible, Matt.
It is horrible.
I always describe it, and anytime I tell the story to anybody, my wife came to pick me up. It was the year the Tampa Bay won. They beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
They beat the Raiders.
That game stunk.
It was a terrible game. And she shows up, and that room's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's a basement. It's Maddie's basement in Etobicoke.
Cesspool of.
So bad. And I always describe it as the last scene in Platoon. Where everybody's lying around and there's just sad music and carnage everywhere. You're not going to get that on draft night, Maddie. Come on. It's the Super Bowl.
What I appreciate with the draft, and then we'll move on to baseball, is it is a commitment. And for so many years, guys we used to work with, like Todd Hayes and his friend Tony and a bunch of friends, we'd get together at work because we could get a special ESPN feed. And the fact that we would still spend the whole day shows a level of commitment. Also, there's a sense of optimism for your team. And the Super Bowl, your team is probably not in it. Most likely they're not. And this is like a chance for your team to get better.
I think it's a general rule that baseball accepted, the more you love a sport, the more you love the draft in that sport.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Fair. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And you and I love basketball and baseball probably equally. And I probably love hockey a little more, and you love NFL football a little more. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
I think that's very fair.
Right. So I gravitate towards the NHL draft, and you gravitate towards the NFL draft.
100%.
Fair enough. All right. So let's do baseball.
I bet we both have the same one.
Of course we do. You want to say it together on three?
One, two, three.
Opening day.
Yeah! All right. Another high five. Bam.
It's opening day. What else is it going to be? Winter's over. Right? The boys of summer out there.
Hold on.
What?
June 4th, it's like game 39 of the season. The Jays are playing Milwaukee. No. We know the worst day of the year. It's the day after the All-Star game when there's nothing going on.
Slowest sports day of the year.
Slowest sports day of the year. It's opening day. It's one of the markers for that warmth and summer is coming, much like the Masters or a couple horse races.
You're thinking of the Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby, wow.
The Masters is actually a good analogy, because you're right, because it happens in April, and it sort of signifies the end of one season and the beginning of another.
But opening day, it has all the optimism.
The romance, the literary depth to it.
Just all the syrupiness. On that day, you buy it.
And baseball, like, the best part of baseball is not the brutal sabermetrics that help you win your fantasy pool. That's kind of fun for its own reason. Mm-hmm. But we all love baseball. I think we do. Because it's one of the few places left where romance isn't stupid.
Yeah.
That you can talk about what things were like 100 years ago and listening on the radio. And it's not misplaced. It's the sport that has the greatest sense of history.
Yes.
It's the one that loves its own history the most.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I think just opening day continues to be a place where you can wax poetic about sports and not sound like a dilettante.
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody dusts off their favorite adjectives on opening day.
Oh,
you know,
The
All-Star game used to be really great too. It's not so much anymore, but back in the day, like say the 70s and 80s and into the 90s, when they really tried hard.
Yeah.
Like they try hard now. They do try hard now because there is consequences, right? It's a stupid consequence.
It's a stupid consequence. They do try. But I'm going old man.
But Pete Rose drilling Ray Fosse at the plate is not going to happen today, whether or not home field advantage for the World Series is at stake. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Nope, not at all.
Used to love it. All right, so that's pretty much all I got for this week, Matty.
Bob.
I know. I've been waiting for you to bring it up.
All right. The one thing from last week, I gave Bob some homework.
Mm-hmm.
The CFL season. It is upon us.
First game tonight, Matt.
That's right. Go.
Saskatchewan and Montreal.
Darren Durant versus his old team.
The Alouettes.
Well, he's now with the Alouettes.
Yeah, no, I'm just making sure that's what they're called.
Yes, against
not the Concords, are they?
No, they're not.
Okay, just checking.
By the way, go to CFL.ca. You can read my preview piece about why I tell you that your team is doomed and why your team is going to be awesome.
Ooh, I'm going to read that. Because this is the year I get into the CFL, Matt.
All right, so Bob, I asked you, we don't need to go through all 25 questions.
Okay.
But we can go, do you want me to read you a bunch of my questions and see how you did?
Yeah.
Who is Derek Dennis? What did he do last year? Where is he now?
I don't know.
Okay. Where is Adam Big Hill right now?
Probably in Canada.
Nope. He is in the United States.
Damn it. That seemed like a gimme.
Who did the Lions, the BC Lions, just in case, beat in the first round of the playoffs? The
Detroit Lions. Now that Calvin Johnson's retired, Ziggy Ansah, though. What a player.
The Lions had a crazy comeback win in the playoffs against what team?
Oh, that would have been the Eskimos.
That would be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Damn it. There's only four to pick from. Or is it five over there?
Which team is Vince Young currently on?
Oh, I know this one. That's the Alouettes.
No, it was Saskatchewan, but he got cut. Where is Bear Woods?
In Toronto.
That's right.
You asked me that one last week. Okay, I just remembered.
Remember when
I asked you if his name was Cheetah Jones?
That's right. You didn't study, did you?
Okay, look, I didn't know I was going to be out of town yesterday, and I had scheduled yesterday was going to be my study
the day before.
You were the day before. I had scheduled
Charlotte,
it.
If you're listening, your dad does his homework at the last minute.
All right. So bad, man.
Okay, then I'm going to turn this around.
How bad would it be if those were my answers and I had studied?
That'd be way worse.
I knew the first game was tonight.
That's great. What can you tell me about the CFL? What do you know? This is embarrassing.
It's too open-ended a question.
Okay. Who do you like this year to win the Grey Cup and why?
I like the repeat winner of the Calgary Stampeders after their exciting overtime win over the Ottawa Rough Riders.
They lost.
Wait, are they the Red Blacks?
The Red Blacks.
Who won?
The Red Blacks beat Calgary. They did? Yes.
Wait a minute. I thought Calgary.
We went over this last week.
Damn it.
Yeah. They won in overtime. Ernest Jackson.
What about Drew Stafford? Drew Stafford's a hockey player. That's ridiculous. What's his name again? Drew Wiley? Drew Bo Miller?
Drew Willie or Bo Levi Mitchell?
That's it.
Bo Levi Mitchell.
Right. Drew Miller Mitchell. Right.
Yeah.
Headlines for next week, Matt?
Headlines for next week.
This is the year I get into the CFL.
Yeah, well, you've
got... You didn't see week two, I'm going to be so good.
Got a long way to go.
So good.
I think, you know, the headlines for next week is going to be the Vegas roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a huge one. I don't think there's going to be a big headline next week about the Blue Jays. They kind of seem to be treading water, but unfortunately not treading water at 500, treading water 5-6 games under 500. So I think the big one for next week is going to be everything involving Las Vegas. I forget the name. Golden Knights? What are they? Yeah, they're the Golden Knights. Yeah.
We're really petering out here.
Yeah, we are.
This is like the party where there's five people left and you're already kind of cleaning, but there's still people there.
Oh, that's always good.
Putting dishes in the sink and there are still people talking.
There's still people drinking. It's like, I just turned the dishwasher on. Get the hell out of my house.
Is there any more passive-aggressive move at the end of the party than to start doing the dishes while people are still there?
That is the most passive-aggressive. The most aggressive? The vacuum. just
why get people to lift their feet
while
they're sitting on the couch?
Yeah, you might as well just have a giant sign that says "Get out of my home."
There's only one step worse than the vacuum, and I think that's literally flicking the lights on. And off.
As you're saying goodnight, everybody, I'm going upstairs.
Have you ever gone to bed at your own party?
Well,
I've done it before. I've had a New Year's. No, but will you actually go to bed?
No,
you're like, I'm done. You guys turn out the lights and lock up when you go.
No, I passed out, but I've never said turn off the lights.
I had a New Year's party once that went well into January the 1st. Mm. So, yeah. And Gene Kelly, who was a very funny guy, kept jumping on top of my bed while I was trying to sleep. And he kept yelling, Dr. Tong, wake up. Because he was on some kind of SCTV binge. And I said to him, literally, this is true. I said, Gene, I'm going to give you 3 seconds to get out of here. I'm going to punch you. One, two, three. I counted that fast and popped him right in the head. When I'm down in bed, I just like thrust my fist up.
So what you're saying, it was not a happy new year.
It would have probably been better just to get the vacuum cleaner, I think. A better move. We're going to go heavy NBA next week.
Yeah.
Because these rumors are just going to get nuttier and nuttier. Mm-hmm. And I got a feeling like the Knicks are going to be at the center of it. Because they are at a boiling point. You're a Knicks enthusiast.
Ugh.
And you must be just dying. Because Phil Jackson, like...
He's going to get rid of Porzingis.
He's not going to get rid of Porzingis. It's impossible. He's the best player they've had in a decade.
It's going to happen.
But he doesn't like the triangle.
He doesn't like the triangle.
He doesn't like the triangle, so he must be bad.
By the way, do you know that when the Knicks were trying out players, prospective players for the draft, they got them to go through triangle exercises?
Of course they did. Enjoy Malik Monk that they take it at the 8th spot.
Thank you very much.
Because he'll look good in that triangle.
Yep. Bob?
Yes, Maddie.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt. Chica.